welcome you and all to another episode of the Global Latin Factor Podcast, where we talk about, say it with me, come on, Latino, everything. Thank you very much for being here on another amazing episode. Today, we're doing another segment of Exchanging Cultures. You've seen the first installment. We're moving on into another one. Today, me, Mexico, meets Ethiopia. We have today a gentleman, financial professional, originally from Ethiopia, a African country that was never colonized by European settlers, by the way. I don't know if you not knew that, but now you know this, thanks to me and thanks to the gentleman here. We have Jesse Gat Kebede, a.k.a. General Kebede. Did I'm saying your name correctly?
Yes. Kebede? Yeah, Kebede, yes.
Hey,
yes.
How you doing today?
Good, how are you?
I'm great. Thank you very much for being here. I appreciate your time, your insights. It's great that we can talk and exchange cultures as far as how you grew up, how I grew up. So thank you so much.
You're welcome.
All right, we're going to go ahead and do a segment that I like to call Preguntas al Chile. Preguntas al Chile.
Preguntas,
how you say pepper
al Chile.
In Ethiopia?
Pepper, care.
Care. We're going to do a segment that I call care. Preguntas, how you say questions?
Tiyake.
Yake care. Yeah. Something like that.
Yeah, yake care.
Right. Here we go. Do you prefer tortas or tacos?
I prefer tacos.
Yes. What about corn tortilla or flour tortilla?
I like flour tortilla.
You like flour tortilla?
Yes.
Nice. What about tips or Doro Wat?
I like Doro Wat. That's our culture. You know?
Tell me about that dish. What is so special about that one?
That's a special dish for Ethiopian, especially during holidays, the first thing, every family cook Doro Wat. You know, Doro Wat is, we make from onion and put a lot of pepper, a lot of onion and the chicken.
Yeah.
And you cook it around at least 2-3 hours.
Wow.
Yeah. And it's spicy and you put some eggs, the boiled eggs.
Yeah.
And, man, that's amazing. That's a very, very traditional food.
Very traditional dish.
Yes,
awesome.
Yes.
Asifa or Gomen?
Oh, Gomen.
Gomen.
Yes, yeah. Gomen.
Yeah. Yeah. You like that one better?
Yeah.
Okay. I hope I can say this one right. Beyainetu or Teresiga?
Oh, Teresiga, my friend. Teresiga. I don't know where we got all these, man.
Telling you, I did a little research.
Yeah, Teresiga is a very, very special dish in Ethiopia that the royal family, when you are a guest or you have a very special ceremony, you prepare Teresiga. That's raw meat.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, for people that don't know, I learned this, and we'll talk about it here more later.
Yeah.
I'm MC for a wedding, a Mexican and Ethiopian wedding.
Uh-huh.
And when I went there, I went into through the back, and I seen this big leg of a cow leg.
Yes,
because
right?
it's beef, right?
Yes, beef. Yes.
Okay, so I see this big beef thing, and me and my Mexican mind, I'm like, oh, they're gonna put it in the grill. So later on, the ceremony went on through, and then the gentleman, the DJ, he was from Ethiopia. He explained to me that we're going to eat it raw beef. I'm like, okay. So I went and watched how they did it. They had a butcher cut it. And he was telling me that the meat they have a special farm that raises the cows for that particular ceremony or special day. It's not like a cow that you'll get from Walmart or anything like that. Is that how it goes?
Yes, because that's a special cow. They feed special. Feed grass. And, and they're well maintained. And, the meat, it has to be a special meat. Not every part of the cow, just the leg part, and they hang it. And, the butcher cuts you. And they know where to cut for you. And and with meat mita is the pepper, pepper powder.
Yeah.
And there's a special sauce, to eat with it. And you just, you cut it and you use the sauce and you enjoy it, man. That's real meat.
So Carlos can get a picture here and clip it in of how it is. Some people think it's taboo. Some people think it's, oh my God, it's raw meat. But it's a specific significant. Do you know why the Yadua, where that culture, where that originated as far as doing that? Do you know, or you happen to hear?
I'm not sure, but in the past, you know, the lion eats raw meat, right? Mm-hmm. And that's why the lion is so aggressive and, you know, they are very strong. And there's one say about it, but another way also, you know, the royal family in the past, you know, the kings and the dynasties, all those in the past, they were their, you know, their privileged meal for.
So it's for royalty. It was reserved for royalty back in the days.
Yeah, back in the days.
The common people would never.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's why it's so special for the ceremony.
That's so special for ceremony.
Is there anything tied to any religion? Because I know you are Christian, but a different type of Christian. Or there's a lot of more Christians in Ethiopia, a higher, a particular type of Christian, right?
Yeah, there's Orthodox.
Orthodox.
Yeah, Christian. Orthodox is the old traditional religion for Ethiopia, but and Muslim too. And right now we have a lot of Pentecostal and so many religions, but Orthodox is, you know, one of the ancient.
Yeah. Religion. And does the Terasiga tie with the religion at all, or nothing to do with it?
No, I nothing to do with it.
Okay.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. Every religion, they eat Terasiga.
Yeah. Awesome. That's amazing. So, yeah, I mean, I'm telling you, when I was looking at some of the things that, just to familiarize myself with Ethiopia.
Yeah, yeah.
I know you're super rich in culture and all kinds of, like, wow.
Right, right.
We'll talk more about that too. Okay. I don't know if you know what agua de horchata, the water, flavored water, horchata, jamaica, or tamarindo. Do you know what those are? It's like a little creamy, mostly like a rice water, hibiscus water. And then the other one's like a bean, tamarindo.
The Mexico water?
Yeah, the Mexico
water. Yeah, tamarindo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that one's actually from Africa as well.
Yeah, I think. Yeah, that's it's something we have something like that in Africa. Yeah, it's called Schweppes in Africa. Yeah,
if I'm not mistaken, somebody could prove me wrong on YouTube or TikTok, but tamarindo is actually one of the things that came from Africa too to Mexico many years ago.
Okay,
yeah, and hibiscus too.
Hibiscus too?
Hibiscus too, the flower.
Yeah.
Use it too?
No, hibiscus is I found hibiscus in Egypt and Egypt's in Africa. And we have some in Ethiopia too. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Okay. What about the spicy? Do you like salsa verde, salsa roja?
Oh, salsa roja.
Yeah?
Yeah, I like salsa roja. Yeah.
Nice. Okay. I don't know if you know what menudo or pozole is. The stews, the Mexican stews. Do you happen to know which one they are? One's made out of tripe. The other one was made with hominy. Have you ever had that at all?
No, I've never had that.
We need to put you on game. We need to take you one of these days.
Okay, all right.
Okay, this was way crazier than all the other questions. Mm. I don't know if you're into it. I don't know if your culture's into it at all. A conspiracy theory, a conspiracy theory that when you heard, it's like when you were hearing, I'm like, man, I think that's possible. I think that's true. What would that be? Any kind of conspiracy theory that you could think of. Would it be aliens? Would it be people in the moon landing? Whatever. If you're not into conspiracy, it's okay. It's just Carlos and I, but I like the question. It's a fun question.
Well,
anything from Ethiopia that is in the culture that people think is a conspiracy?
Yeah, there are some, some people, right, they say about, you know, some people, they say heaven is on earth, right? And some, they say heaven is up there.
Yeah.
So, to me, it's, you know, I don't agree with saying that heaven is on earth, and that I think that's, like, you know, conspiracy.
I heard that before.
You heard that?
I heard a gentleman say, how do you know you're not in heaven and you're messing it up?
Yeah.
Which is kind of true. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, that could be a conspiracy. People see it.
Yeah.
When you hear the word Latino, Latina, when you first heard the word, what comes to mind for you?
When I heard the first time Latina, mm-hmm. It came to me Latin. The language yeah, mm-hmm. There's a called Latin. So when I was in Ethiopia, I know that there's Latin language.
Mm-hmm.
So I refer it to the language, but later on, you know, Latina is just referring a girl or a woman,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah,
and he's Latino.
Yeah,
he's for a man, and is just
correct.
Yeah.
Awesome. The for religion, the one y'all practice, is it Latin, Latino, Latin? The y'all, for example, some Catholics, they still do the ceremony, the masses in Latin. For y'all religion, is there
in Amharic,
your native language, or is it a different language?
It is native language. It's native language. In Amharic.
Yeah, because y'all's Bible, if I'm not mistaken, is like 800 years before the recent Bible. I forget what the name of it is, but your Bible's really old.
Really old, yeah.
Yeah, compared to the other one.
Yeah. The Christianity and the religion in Ethiopia is way, way back.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's one of the oldest, I can't think. And says the Bible, Ethiopia is in the Bible. In the Bible, you see Ethiopia, the world, you find it.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. I need to go find one. I do have a Bible. I need to go see if they have
it. Yeah.
I was trying to think of the other Bible before, yeah, but I can't, the word can't,
right.
You probably can put it in, not the regular one, but the one after the second version.
Right.
Okay, so tell me, what is it like for a young general? First of all, let's start, when did they start calling the general? When did that emerge?
No, the general, the name came up, you know, it's about 2017,
uh-huh.
I joined the company 2016. And when I joined, I was, you know, really hot, you know, the campaigning, sharing, and mm-hmm. And building the team. So we had a meeting with Coach on Hi-Fi down street.
Yeah.
And the first time I had a meeting with Coach and with my team. So he was running the meeting, then we were sharing, we were standing and sharing, and mm-hmm. I say, hey, and I was saying, you know, this is Coach, we really believe on the mission, and we are campaigning hard, and this is my soldiers right here. Then, you are the general.
That's where it came from.
Then people, they pick it up from there, then they call me general.
Yeah, even on your WFG page, it's the general.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, that's interesting. Yeah. All right, so for a young general coming up, growing up in Ethiopia, what area, what particular town, is it a village, is it a particular town, a city that you were born at? Where were you born?
I was born in a village, in a very remote area.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my family's there, farmers. So I am the last son from the family. We have five.
Mm-hmm.
I have one sister and three brothers. So, you know, we are in a very, you know, rural area, and there is no water, there is no electricity.
Wow.
I was born there, and luckily, my brother got a chance to go to school, and I got a chance to go to school.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I was going to school about 1.5 hour walking, no shoes.
So to go to school, you had to walk 1.5 hours to get to school.
Yeah, just to get to school.
Wow. Every day?
Every day.
So it was 1.5 hours going that way, yeah, and 1.5 hours going back. So 3 hours walking.
3 hours walking, yes. Wow. Yeah, so, you know, it was really a struggle, and later on, after one, you know, once I went to one up to sixth grade, and I have to go to very, you know, to the city to get to my junior, you know, seventh and eighth grade.
How far is that from where you're at, from your village?
That was about 4 or 5 hours.
And it's a village?
That was a city.
Okay. But you're living in actual village, right?
Yeah.
Actual village?
Yeah, actual village,
okay,
yeah.
Okay, a farmer's village.
Yeah, farmer's village,
So you go 7, 8 grade, you have to go 5 hours to the city if you want to go to school.
Yeah, so I go, so that's why I go Sunday, then and from Sunday to Friday, I stay there.
Mm-hmm.
And Friday night, I go back to the village. Then I carry food for the week.
Wow.
And go back on Sunday. Then I tried for 1 year. And I couldn't be able, because I was...
You were young.
I was little. I was young.
How you were, must have been probably by 11, 12?
Yeah, about 11, 12 years.
Uh-huh.
So then I was, you know, it was hard for me to pursue. Then my older brother, he graduated from college and he got a job.
Mm.
And when he got a job, and he say, "Hey, you don't need to do all this. I'm gonna take you, and I'm gonna give you. You're gonna live with me, and you're gonna go to education." Then I went to about very close to the capital city of Addis Ababa, and start living with him from eighth grade to high school. You know. With him, you know, no more carrying food, no more traveling and walking. So, yeah, then I finished college.
So when you used to leave for the week, you had to obviously take party buses or somebody took you over there, right? But where did you stay? Was there some family members or?
No, we rent a house.
A house.
Yeah, 3, 5, 6 of students we rent. One house, and we sleep on the floor.
They'll let you stay at 11, 12 years old by yourselves?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And we have older students that was high school and stuff like that. So, yeah, we stay in a group.
Awesome. So your brother gets you to, he gets a job. What kind of job did he get at that time?
He was, at that time, he graduated from technical school, electronics.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Then he got a job in one of the television station.
Oh, wow.
As a technician. Nice. Yeah. So, yeah.
He was making good money. So you go to school, you go to high school. Then what follows after that for you?
Yeah. Then I finished my high school and got my grade, I joined a college.
Mm-hmm.
Then I graduated from college and I got a job and start working. Then after that, I got a chance to go to do my master's. And then, you know, came to Kenya, worked Kenya, then came to America.
So at Kenya, you were working on your master's? Did you complete the master's?
I did my master's in Uganda.
Uganda?
Yeah. So then I came to Kenya to work.
Okay. So you go to Kenya to work. And then from Kenya, you make it to the U.S. What brought you, what made you decide to want to come to the U.S.? What opportunities was presented to you? Was it a job opportunity? Did you migrate it? How does somebody from Ethiopia with a master's end up taking the leap to go to the U.S.?
Oh, very good question. So, people, and especially from my country, we want to come to America, you know. So my girlfriend, while I was in Ethiopia, she graduated the same college. Mm-hmm. I graduated. We know each other there. Then once she graduated, she was working in one of the school in Addis Ababa.
Nice.
Yeah, so she got a scholarship here to do her master's. In San Antonio, in San Marcos, Texas State University.
Yeah, yeah.
So while she was here, I was coming to visit her from Kenya.
Mm.
So while I was visiting her, she got pregnant for our first boy.
Mm.
Then I make, you know, I have to move from Kenya to here because now you're starting a family, right?
Yeah, so you were already working over there.
I was working over there.
What kind of job were you doing at that time?
I was working in the UN.
UN?
Yes.
The UN, UN?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. Yes. How did you ended up working for the UN? How did that work?
Oh, because the UN in Africa, you know, there is a lot of United Nations organizations, UNDP, UNICEF, you know, WFP, all kind of. So they always, you know, hire people.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah. So I applied for a job and I got hired there.
What was your position at that time?
I was working with the refugees.
Refugees?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, in Kenya, there are so many refugees from different countries, from around 250,000 refugees reside in Kenya. So wow. They need help, resettlement, all this. So I was working with that.
Okay. Yeah. So they're mostly doing some humanitarian help?
Yeah, humanitarian help, okay. Yeah.
So you find out your girlfriend's pregnant, you make the move. How does somebody from Ethiopia makes it to the U.S.? How do they have a visa? Do they come illegally with a passport and overstay? Because for me, like, I was born in Mexico, so I didn't have no papers. We didn't have nothing. So I crossed illegally.
Yeah.
I crossed the border illegally and make my way. So I always said, I'm good. Don't call nobody. Don't call nobody. I'm straight.
Yeah.
But how does somebody from Ethiopia being in Kenya at that time, right? How do they make it here? And how do you make your, how does that work for y'all?
Yeah, because since I was working and
bring you closer to the mic for
because
me.
Since I'm working.
Yeah, of course.
With the UN, you know, we got a visa. I used to come and go.
Mm-hmm.
I used to come for a meeting, you know, and go back. So I had already, you know, that privilege. And from Ethiopia, you know, you can apply visa, you can come as a student,
mm-hmm.
or a DV lottery, you know, the lottery, know, diversity visa lottery.
Uh-huh.
And there, yeah. And also, you know, these are the only options you have is either you have to come as a visitor with a visa,
mm-hmm.
or you have to have a diversity visa lottery.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I got I was just coming to visit and to have a meeting through work. But her, she got a scholarship.
Mm.
So she got a student visa.
Yeah.
Otherwise, there is no border to cross there, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. You have to fly.
Yeah. Not at all. So that's how you end up staying here, even with the visa. But it's only a visitor's visa, right?
Yeah.
How do you become more of a permanent person here?
Yeah. But when you come here, you know, you seek asylum. Yeah.
So you seek asylum at that time?
Yeah, I seek asylum at that time. Because Ethiopia has you know, the political situation every time in Ethiopia is not good because there's always war, fights, like that, you know? So, yeah, I seek asylum and I was granted.
And that's how you start your process through immigration? Do you still have to pay and different things like that?
Yeah, you have to pay, you know, for your green card, stuff like that. But most of the for the immigrants, for the asylum seekers, is easy. You get a lot of help from the government. Yeah.
Okay. So now that you're here in the States, you have a baby on the way. What are you doing for work at that time?
Very good question. When I came here, you know, I was asking my friends around here, hey, since I have, you know, experience working with the United Nations,
mm-hmm.
I asked them, hey, can you show me the United Nations office around here? Man, there is no United Nations office. This here is gas station, man.
So they told you there's a gas station. Really?
Yeah. So I started working in a convenience store.
Uh-huh.
And then while I was working there, I was just, you know, wow, this is it, man. I feel so down.
Because you have a master's degree and you're working for the UN doing
great.
Great work for people, helping people out, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So how long did you do at the gas station? Well, how do you get hired? You just go and apply regularly?
Yeah, like, just through friends, you know, I get hired and, you know, this. So I was working second shift, okay? I was working second shift and one of my coworker, he do first shift. Then one day he asked me, "Hey, can you switch today because I have to take my wife to see her doctor?" She, you know, okay. Then I switch him. I work in the morning, and he came in the evening, and he was killed that night.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, he just got in my shift, and he was killed. Then I stopped working in that place, and went to another gas station in a better location, 7-Eleven.
What area? Where was it at?
That was downtown on Howell Street.
Here in Dallas?
Yeah, Dallas area? Lemon Avenue, yeah.
So that shocked you to a point where you had to still go to a different gas station, but try to find something safer?
Yeah, safer, yeah. Then I went to another 7-Eleven, Farmers Branch. I started working there for another a year. But when I come, I had some money saved up. And once I know how to run a gas station, I was be able to start my own little convenience store.
So you start your own little convenience store with the money that you had saved and the knowledge of running a convenience store.
Yes.
And how long do you do that for?
I did that another probably 2 years. Then,
because you expanded from those 2 years. You had one, but you it became two, right?
Yes, exactly. Then once I did that for 2 years, I saved more. And I bought a gas station. I bought a gas station at that time. Then I ran that gas station for another 7 years. And, you know, it was okay, but he worked so hard and no time. But always, you know, little by little, there were progress, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, yeah, about 8 years, total 10 years.
10 years at the gas station.
Yeah.
All those with two gas stations.
Yeah. One is convenience store. Uh-huh. The other one's gas station.
But it's just nothing that's fulfilling you. Nothing that you feel like it's just something that you like.
No, because, you know, I want to do something bigger and better, you know. So I have a dream, you know. I want to do something big. And I want to help my people, you know. I always want to do something in the village, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And and it's not enough here. Just you make a living, you know?
Yeah.
So I was looking for something, you know, bigger than that.
Okay. So let's get into that part. We'll talk about the Ethiopia-Mexico connection here before we end it.
Mm.
Somebody approaches you with an opportunity with something that you kind of sort of saw that it might be something for you. But it's not immediately. It takes you about a good 3 years before you actually see.
Yes.
For the first time they approached you, what did they tell you, and what just like nothing clicked at that time?
Yeah, you know, when they come and, you know, talk to me, I always, you know, hear people and, you know, listen, but I didn't get it, you know. I didn't get it. I say, "Yes, okay, I come," but I didn't get it. They talk to me about, "Hey, you need to come. And we have a meeting on Saturday, and we have financial education class. Why don't you come and check it out?" Okay, I will. I got a business card then, you know, back to work. And you forget about it, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. And after a week and 2 weeks later, they come and they always remind me. And then just by doing that for a while, we become, you know, friends.
Yeah, become friends over the times, over the invites.
After
a while, just checking, hey, you ready yet?
Yeah. You ready yet? After so many business cards, you know?
Yeah.
Every time. So
it was the same person?
Yeah, the same person.
Over and over.
Yeah, over and over.
So he'll give you a different card because you know you left that one somewhere else. All right.
Yeah. So, yeah. Then later on, I got to know his wife too. Then, you know, they had a clinic next to my gas station.
Oh.
Yeah, so always, you know, and sometimes, you know, I don't see them for 2-3 months. And they tell me, "Hey, we just came back from super trip, you know, we've been in Japan, we've been this, you know." All those things, you know, I didn't get it at the beginning. You
didn't get it.
Yeah, because, you know, the environment, you know,
So, the environment and... You had one kid at the time. Have you had the second kid? How many kids you have now?
Two.
So at that time, did the other one come in?
Yes.
The other baby? So you already had responsibilities.
Yes. Yeah, I had a responsibility.
So you had to work owning the gas station. Yes, I'm pretty sure. How many hours do you think you were putting in at that time?
I work around 14 hours.
A day?
Yeah, 14 hours. I wake up, you know, every day I wake up 5 o'clock. And I wake up 5 o'clock, 5:30, I leave my house. 6 o'clock, I have to open the store.
Mm-hmm.
Then every day, I am the one who's opening. From 6, sometimes I stay around 8, 9 in the evening.
Wow.
And
Every
day.
Even Sundays, there's no closing the gas station or no closing the convenience store?
No closing.
Every day?
No, every day.
Every day.
Yeah, every day. So, you know, it's very painful, man. And you don't have time for your family, you don't have time for yourself, you know?
Yeah.
So I feel so bad when I see people now, you know?
Yeah. So whenever gentleman comes to Super Trip, little by little, what thought start coming to you that you realize this is something that you might be able to do?
Yeah. The first thing after a few years, we sat down in my store, mm-hmm. and he showed me the financial product.
Mm-hmm.
About, he educated me about the life insurance.
Mm-hmm.
And he asked me, you know, hey, Mengistu, this is a store you are running. And at that store, the previous owner was killed in that store.
Mm.
And he said, hey, what if somebody kill you? And I used to carry a gun, you know, to protect myself.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, so what will happen to your kids? I mean, your wife, she's not working, and if anything happened to you, what do you have for your family? I don't have any. The business.
All he's telling you is straight up things that
straight
could
up.
Happen.
Yeah, straight
in
up.
In reality, based on the jobs that you do, because you've seen it from what happened to the friend.
Yeah, yeah. He's asking me, hey, how much your life was? What? What are you telling me? My life, you know, it's
priceless.
Priceless.
What are you talking about?
What are you talking about? My life is priceless.
Right?
No. How much life insurance you have? No, I don't have life insurance. No, your life was zero. So that's how I understand. He told me straightforward. Okay. Mm-hmm. I understand that. So tell me, you have a house, you have, you know, your kids. So if, God forbid, if anything happened to you, what's the future of your family,
mm-hmm.
financially? I don't have any. And hey, I understand that. Hey, can I buy life insurance? Yes, I start.
And your wife wasn't working at the
time. No.
She was staying home.
She was staying home, yeah.
So she don't have, even though she was going to school, I'm pretty sure she will be able to figure. But immediately, when she's not working at all, it's probably going to take her a few times for her to get some money.
Right.
I'm pretty sure you're doing well for yourself as far as money coming in.
Right, right.
I don't know if she'll be able to do that amount immediately.
No. So I realized that, you know, my family was not secured. So I become a client right mm-hmm. away. And I become a client. And you know, we sometimes they invite me during Christmas party, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And once in a while I come and, you know, hang out here when they have some events, and they came up with the blue book, and mm-hmm. you know,
saving your future. Yeah,
when Saving Your Future came, he brought me, and I read that book.
Yeah,
and I started this, man, this information is so good. Then I came, and one day, I just, you know, I thought about it, and I need to educate myself, you know. Then I came and I went through the workshops and, you know, all stuff. And I, hey, this is my community need this information.
Mm-hmm.
When I look around here, I see 200 people in the training, and I don't see any Ethiopian.
Mm-hmm.
I say, what's wrong with it? Is there any problem with the company, or is there a problem with my people,
right?
You know, so I just trying to educate myself. Then I make a decision. Hey, this is something I wanna do it because this is something big. You know,
mm-hmm.
this is something big because we can help a lot of people, and we can become somebody. So when I see that our community, you know, 99% they don't have any life insurance. I tell you what, yeah. So they every time is GoFundMe. So hey, this is something I wanna do it part time. Then I start, you know, inviting and recruiting people and just go like that. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was it difficult for you in the beginning to begin to do the even part time? Because you're already working 14 hours a day. When are you finding time?
It was very hard at the beginning, and I didn't know much, a lot of people that time. And, you know, but I was working with my trainer.
Mm-hmm.
See, I have a lot of contacts, you know, I write people and sharing lists. I talk to them and I invite them. I tell them, you know, to talk to them. So, you know, I was just make sure, you know, I give the contact for all my trainers.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they refer me and, you know, they really help me. They help me to build the business.
Mm.
Yeah. But everywhere I go, I share, you know, I share and I develop my sharing list every time. So, and we go drop by, stop by with them. I take them to those Ethiopian business,
mm-hmm.
as people, to the store, to the restaurant.
Yeah,
that's how we got Daniel. That's how we got, you know, Yaragal and stuff like that. Yeah.
So, got great trainers. They take you out and about to be able to see it and be able to be more, even though you're doing it part time. At that time, do you feel that the gas station eventually you're not going to be able to do that anymore? You don't want to do it anymore. I know you. It's just something that's not fulfilling for you. Eventually, you saw the bigger vision. How long did you give yourself to be able to know that you're just going to do a part? Full time, because eventually you sold the gas stations, right?
You know, honestly, I never knew. I never thought that I'm gonna sell my gas station because I don't really understand the business here. It's very intangible.
Mm-hmm.
You don't see how the business. You don't really understand how the money comes in the financial sector.
Right.
But if you see the gas station, you buy stuff, you put on the shelf, you sell it. Right? Mm-hmm,
right.
That's tangible. You see it, right?
You got but inventory.
Yeah. Can't throw
you it. Have things in
there. But here, you don't really understand it until, you know, you become a trainer and you help the family, the financial solution.
Yeah.
See the money coming in. You need to, it takes you a while to understand it. Then, but me at the beginning, I was focusing just helping people, you know?
Yeah.
Not my commission. I remember I had almost 65 people before I got my license.
Wow.
So now that's why I had almost 20 plus sales. I didn't make anything, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I was watching how they do it. Mm-hmm. I watched Dewey. I watched Tolly. I watched all the trainers here. I was working with everybody. So once I get my license, I was be able to make money because I had already a lot of people.
So you already have quite a bit of a business.
Quite a bit of a business. So when I got my license, I right away I become marketing director, making $5,000-$6,000
a month.
Yes,
just like that.
Just like.
But again, just like that. But you have been after work.
Yeah.
14 hours building.
Yeah. Right.
Getting people, educating people, be able to fall under you as far as building your team for you.
Exactly. So so now, and I had. You know, when I passed my license, already about 4 people passed my license together with me. That pushed me to marketing director.
Yeah.
That time, you need to have 5 licenses, become MD.
Yeah.
That you become a strong MD if you have 5 licenses with you. Then, you know, then another 2 months later, I become SMD and make $100,000 part. So when I make $100,000 part-time, I sold my gas station.
You sold them?
Yeah.
So that's it?
That's it.
No more putting yourself in danger helping people.
Yeah, no helping. So I say, you know, as a businessman, if you make $100,000, in order to make $100,000 with a gas station business, you need to have at least $500,000 inventory.
Wow.
See?
Mm-hmm.
So you need to, in order to make more money, you need to buy more stuff. And you don't have the capital. Mm. See?
So a lot of overhead.
A lot of overhead. But yeah. Here, hey, you can, you just, you know, help people build a team. And, you know, and I found that's my passion, you know. Mm-hmm. And I started loving it, you know, how you help your people, you know. It has a purpose. It has a cause, you know.
So when you approach somebody, as far as the Ethiopian culture, like for us Latinos, it's kind of hard for us to grasp the idea of being protected, properly protected, or even certain of those things. There's a lot of us now out and about telling people, but I don't know how the Ethiopian people are taking in as far as like the products, proper protection, all that. Are they taking it in, or they're just like, you know, not for me?
They're very difficult.
Very difficult.
Yeah, they don't take it in. Mm-hmm. You know, the when you start talking about life insurance, they're going to run away from you.
They run. I see them take off.
Yeah.
I can see them in my
head. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You think that you are speculating that they're going to die. Mm-hmm. You know? That's the bad luck. You're bringing bad luck. What do you mean, man?
You know what I was thinking today when people were saying that? It just dawned on me. I'm like, if anybody was to tell me that, like, okay, so you have car insurance. Are you anticipating an accident? You have home insurance. Are you anticipating it burning down?
Right.
I know you're not. You're just protecting it.
Yeah.
Protecting your car.
Yeah.
It's the same thing.
Right.
You're not invoking anything.
Right.
It's just being prepared for it. You know, you'll get a fine if you don't have freaking car insurance, you know? And that could, how is that possible that you're not calling that you're going to have an accident when you get the insurance? That's got nothing to do with it, but you're protecting it because you know it's a big asset, but like your home, depending on how you use it, to have insurance on both. So why not on oneself?
It is just, you know, I don't know, maybe the culture thing. It doesn't make any sense, man. You protect everything you have. You protect your phone. You protect your
dog insurance now.
They have dog insurance now. And the most important part is your life or your family. And I had a lot of rejection at the beginning. But, you know, I kept going, you know, I kept going. And the training helped you, you know, you wounded in the field, you come to the BPM, you know,
you get right back up
and, you know, they patch you and you go back to the field.
I love it.
Yeah. So, and then I start getting 1, 2, 3, then, you know, I start getting some really believers, you know?
Yeah.
And yeah, we never look back. And then we went to our first convention, man.
What was that at?
New Orleans.
New Orleans.
Man, New Orleans, man, 2017.
Yeah.
I took 27 people.
Wow.
No, we don't have any license. None of us.
None, yeah.
Then we saw that, man, there, major decision. This is it. We make a decision, we come back, we run, explosion. Just in 1 year, Tina McKenna actor, $100,000. Then, next year, 18 months, Green Jacket, $180,000.
Yeah.
Then just and build MDs, build SMDs. It was just, you know.
Okay. What is the misunderstanding that people don't understand regarding the license? And the license you're talking about is life and health license that you have, right? That you have to obtain in order for the company you're working right now to be able to do. What is the misunderstanding that people don't understand about the license itself? That it's just a life insurance license and that's all it's used for? Or there's other things that you can do with it?
No, I think the misunderstanding, you know, the life insurance license, they think they're going to sell life insurance.
Right, right.
See, they don't know, unless you read that material, mm-hmm. you don't understand how the insurance industry works.
Right.
See, that's why I thought that, hey, man, I'm not going to sell life insurance. But when I read the material, mm-hmm. it's so much to do, you know,
right?
With that license. You do the annuity part, you do the health part, you do the, you know, even other referral products, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Just with that one license?
Yeah, just one license.
Yeah.
And I saw people make millions of dollars with that license.
Mm-hmm.
So I say, this is, you know, and when you see the market, it's wide open market.
Mm-hmm.
But the name of the license, life and health, that give people that give people to not to see it in different ways, you know?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. I wish they give it a different name now.
Different title.
Different title, you know?
Right.
Yeah. So, and no, the other part is when people, they read the course, it's tedious, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I remember even when I start reading that material, I just feel sleepy. Mm. You know?
Yeah.
I can't finish one chapter.
You got a master's too.
I know.
From Ethiopia.
Yeah.
Your country.
But, you know, it was 18 chapters, man.
Yeah.
18 chapters, reading and thing. And I say one time, I want to pay $200 and just take 2 days crash course.
Mm-hmm.
And me and Daniel, we did that, and somebody came from Houston, and it was on second floor, just Saturday, Sunday. We finished it, and we went to take the test on Tuesday. We passed.
Nice.
Yeah.
Amazing. That's awesome, bro. And then now, what is your title now?
My title now is EVC, Executive Vice Chairman.
Executive Vice Chairman. And you right now have a cash flow of?
Right now, I have a cash flow of about $700,000.
$700,000.
Yes.
Did you ever even imagine seeing that type of money in the gas station at all?
No.
Not even close?
No. Man, that's just, you work for a living.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I barely pay myself about $60,000-$70,000 a year.
Mm.
It's after you pay everything, you know?
Yeah.
So when you see people having a gas station and you see them, you don't think they have a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
See, the business needs a lot of money.
A lot of traffic.
A lot of traffic. Yeah. A lot of things. You know? And the profit margin is so little.
So little.
Yeah. You know?
Okay. And then the company we were talking about that you went into is the same one, which World System Builders.
Yes.
With WFG.
Yeah.
And you've been at it for since 2017, real strong till this day.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. You know, I start 2017 and to this day, I start here in Dallas. And the first 2 years, it was a struggle, you know.
Yeah.
It was a building phase. Trying to, you know, build leaders and also, you know, connect with the community. But our explosion came during COVID.
During COVID?
Yes.
Well, a lot of people were seeking some protection at that time.
Yes. During COVID, I had 3 senior marketing directors.
Wow.
Before COVID. But within COVID, we went about 21 senior marketing directors.
God, 21 senior marketing directors.
Yes.
Just like that.
Just like that.
Yeah.
Because that time, people are sitting home. Nowhere to go. Right?
True.
So we don't know what to do. And we start, you know, figuring out how to use Zoom. And we start with 10 people. Slowly by slowly, from 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 100, 200, 300, 400 people.
And the Zoom class.
The Zoom class.
Zoom class.
Yeah. And we start doing that education. And the advantage was a husband and a wife, they are sitting in the home,
mm-hmm.
and they're listening our presentation.
Right.
And both they see, hey, this thing is very interesting.
Right.
So they will be able to make a decision because both of them, they got the information at the same time.
At the same time.
But before, you know, You educate the husband and the wife is at home, you cannot make a decision, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it was a slow process. And even you cannot even close it. But now we got the opportunity, both parties got a chance to listen. And also COVID by itself create the mindset, people, you know, to think about their children, you know?
Oh, yeah. We saw people, unfortunately, passing away left and right.
Yes.
And,
yes.
I mean, it was a reality at that time.
Right. Yeah. So we had a significant growth of 300%.
Wow.
That's how, you know, we got into the community, and we expanded in many locations. Right now, our team is in 44 states.
So you're in 44 states. So with this business, you're able to expand not only here in Dallas. You started in Dallas, but now you expand to 44 states?
44 states.
And how many people are under you, do you would say?
Right now, total active, we have about 2,000.
2,000.
But people who joined was about 20,000 people.
Wow.
And we educate about 80,000 people. Close to 100,000 people were educated.
Mm.
And not only here, we have team members in Canada.
Canada too.
Yeah, Canada, four provinces in Canada will have marketing directors.
With your team?
Yes.
So, amazing.
Yeah. So this is a platform, man. This is a really, really an opportunity that any ordinary person can come and do something great, you know?
Yeah. For the people that, you know, pyramid scheme, multi-level, how do you say to those individuals?
Man, I feel sorry about that because that's a misunderstanding. Because you cannot be a pyramid scheme or while you have a license from the government.
Right.
You know? And multi-level, everything is multi-level.
Right.
You know? The bank is multi-level. The family is multi-level. Everything is multi-level. Every corporation is multi-level. But ours is not multi-level because you can start from the bottom and you can pass your upline and go to all the way, you know?
Yeah.
But you go to the bank, you know, the president, the vice president, and
they always get the bonus checks, but you don't get no bonus check. What's going on with that?
I know.
You get your part, but they're getting bonuses left and right. Why can't you be the one to get some of that? Right?
Yeah, man. This is a true business.
Yeah.
Man.
And then I like the fact that for you, your community, you saw that they're lacking this. And even though they're stubborn, kind of like my people, but you still did not give up. And I don't know how much satisfaction you get the fact that you are making a contribution to Ethiopia. And now I don't know if you're able to go back to your country and, you know, now with the money that's flowing, that you're able to do more stuff over there too as well. Because, you know, you need money at the end of the day to be able to make a difference.
Absolutely. I just came back from Ethiopia about 3-4 weeks ago, you know. You know, and when you have, you give, you know, and you make a difference. Those people, you know, and I'm so grateful because I want to do it, but I don't have it before. But now I have it. I can do as much as I can.
Right.
You know, so that's something. And also, you know, I believe in my people, you know. I understand my people's situation too.
Right.
I don't blame them not, you know, to trust everything that they got because they had experience, bad experience. So that's why they are skeptical because, but so thanks for the education, you know, the workshop and the literacy. You know, the more you teach them, the more you get them, they understand. Eventually, they will come on board.
Right.
Just you got to be patient with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's thing. So that's. We've seen people, you know, our clients, when we give them a check of 500,000, when the breadwinner passed away, I've seen that. I gave a check, and you know, with four kids, a wife doesn't have a job, a truck driver, he passed away, you know, and luckily he had insurance with us, and you know, all these things, you know what you do,
right?
You know, it gives you. Energy when you see, you know, people are getting the benefit.
How tough is it to be able to deliver to somebody, even though they're protected? Unfortunately, they passed away, right? It was a tragedy. But at the end of the day, you still have something for the wife that is left with kids.
Right.
That unfortunately, of course, the money is not going to replace them. But at the end of the day, they have something to keep going until they're able to figure something out.
Right.
Instead of no money whatsoever.
Right, right. See, at the end of the day, what legacy you are leaving behind.
Right.
You know? And anybody's going to die. All of us, we're dying, but what is leaving behind?
Right.
Your children, your grandchildren, your community, you know? So the only thing you can build a very strong community is when you are able to transfer some kind of wealth.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Otherwise, you know?
You know, I was researching small books, audiobook success books or success, and a lot of them cover that part about having insurance, proper protection, life insurance. But a lot of the successful books that you seek as far as success or setting up or finances, that is always included in there.
Right.
I mean, you can look it up. You can look some of the success videos, financial literacy videos, financial education videos, or how to be financially successful. And somewhere in there, a chapter will be dedicated to that, to having proper protection, having life insurance somewhere down there.
I mean, that's it.
Yeah, look it up if y'all want to. Every book, you'll find a chapter that has that and covers that part.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, the whales here, they know how to create whales. You know? Every single book I read, the biggest whale transfer is, and the quickest one, is through proper protection.
Proper protection.
Yeah. The quickest. You can create millions of assets just within a minute. Just by submitting one pool application and getting approved, that's it. So, you know, that's why people need to understand that. And life insurance, owning a life insurance is also a privilege, because I have seen so many people, they want to have it, but they deny it.
Yeah.
You see?
Yeah.
So, we
take it for granted when we're young.
Right.
The fact that we can always probably qualify, because you have to qualify, have to apply to qualify to see if you're eligible. But some people are not. Imagine the ones that they're not. You know, we still be able to see what we can do, but, you know, not everybody will be able to.
Yeah. But, you know, WSB really is making a difference.
Yeah.
You know, it's making a difference. The approach is very different. And the education, and people are starting now getting 30 million family by 2030 is a big goal. And, you know, in my team also, we want to do 1 million family by 2030.
You're going to do it.
Yeah. So
absolutely.
When we do that, we can make a difference in our community. And, you know, yeah.
Amazing. Okay. So, If anybody from the Ethiopian community or anybody want to reach out to you to figure out or see how can you help them, whether it would be financial education, financial literacy, I'm going to put in your social media, but they can contact you directly to educate them, whether it be financial literacy, workshops, material that you have that you'll be able to give them. I know you're out and about, by the way, because I ran into a gentleman at a building. I think I saw you at an apartment complex. I saw you pass by, but the gentleman that was at the reception, you already talked to the man.
Okay.
He told me, the general, like, oh, yeah, no, I know him. Like, yeah, he already told me about it. I'm like,
okay.
What you waiting for, my friend? Oh, you know, like, okay, he'll be back.
Right.
He'll be back for you.
Right.
Yeah, but it's pretty cool. So where can they reach you at as far as, like, you know, sending you a message, your website, whatever it is, where can they get a hold of you?
Yeah, you know, like, our office is here in Dallas, in 1311 North Central Expressway, Dallas, Texas. We have workshops twice a week.
Twice a week.
Yeah, and we have a Zoom every day from Monday to Friday. We have a Zoom. Can I say my Zoom?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Whatever you like. Well, I'll put it in. You send it to me, and I'll also put it in the description too.
Perfect. Yeah, we have a Zoom link, so every day, morning for 1 hour, we do financial education, and every Sunday.
Is this in Ethiopian?
Yeah, in Ethiopia. Language? Yeah, in Ethiopia. Okay. Language.
What is the language for Ethiopian?
Amharic.
Amharic. Yeah, so Amharic, you'll have one.
Yeah, in Amharic, we have Amharic language, and also we have YouTube channels they can attend. You know,
nice.
All those things, you know, and you know, we are using social media in order to give, you know, a direction for our community where to get for the financial education. But mostly we do it in our office here in Dallas Central and in East Coast, in about in major cities.
Okay.
We have, now, yeah.
Say it in your native language, what you just said.
Okay.
So that way I can clip it in there whenever. If you want some financial literacy help, if you want to learn more about finances, and you don't know where to begin, and you're in the Ethiopian community.
የኛን ትምርት ነጻ ፋይናንሻል ኤጁኬሽን ትምርት መከታተል ለምትፈልጉ ከሰኞ ስካርብ ጧት ጧት በዙማችን እንድትከታተሉን እንጠይቃለን። ዙሙን ከታች እናስቀምጣለን። እንዲሁም ደግሞ እሁድ ማታ ከምሽቱ 8 ሰዓት ጀምሮ 8 pm በኢስተርን ታይም በሱፐር ሰንዴ ላይ ትምርቱን እንሰጣለን። ሁላችሁም ባያላችሁበት ሆናችሁ ዙማችን በመግባት ትምርቱን እንድትከታተሉ እንጠይቃለን። እንዲሁም በዳላስ ሴንትራል በኦፊሳችን ውስጥ ኤቭሪ ዴይ እንገኛለን እና አድራሻ 1311 ኖርት ሴንትራል ኤክስፕረስ ዌይ ዳላስ ቴክሳስ 75243 እንድትገኙ እንጠይቃለን።
What he said is that if you want to learn financial education, you need to come see the man here in the Dallas Central or myself. We educate you, get you on the right direction so you can make almost $1 million cash flow now. We're real close. I know he's going to get it anytime. So that's what he said. What was in the language?
Amharic.
I know Amharic. I don't know if y'all know this.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. Ethiopia and Mexico connection.
Okay.
Mexico. Okay. So thank you so much for being here today and checking out this amazing episode. Make sure you go and subscribe to the channel and leave a comment and a like. And now back to the episode. Ethiopia and Mexico got an interesting relationship, right?
Yeah.
What do you know about it as far as a connection?
I really don't know much about it.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember the Mexico president, the Haile Selassie,
mm-hmm.
the Ethiopian king, they had, you know, strong ally.
Yeah.
And friendship, you know, in during those time. So when the Mexico president went to Ethiopia to visit,
mm-hmm.
The Ethiopian king, they named the one area, one place, it's called Mexico Circle.
Michael.
It's called Mexico Adababay.
Adababay.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
That's named for Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
And when the Majesty Haile Selassie went to Mexico, the Mexico president,
mm-hmm. In 1954,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Named the train station.
Yep. It was an area.
Yeah.
And then later on, the train station was named Ethiopia.
Ethiopia.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was those two countries, like Mexico, Cuba,
yeah,
Ethiopia, they were really strong allies in political and trade and, you know,
yeah,
all those things. So, yeah, that's why Mexico and Ethiopia become a very strong friend.
Yeah. So what I heard, first of all, if I'm not mistaken, it could be wrong, but yeah, either y'all began coffee or coffee was somewhat discovered. I know it's super important for y'all's culture, but that's one of the things that is important, like coffee.
Coffee.
I don't know if you are the ones that actually invented coffee or gave coffee to the world, but I know for sure it's super important for y'all. Now, before I get to that, Mexico relationships, y'all were never colonized. However, Italians were there for some time. Some kind of world center, Mexico vouched for y'all to keep y'all's independence. And because of that, the people that are in charge, I don't know if it was the king or president, decided to honor Mexico and the relationship by establishing that center. At one time, there was a Mexico embassy in Ethiopia, and the same thing for Ethiopian embassy. It was also in Mexico. Eventually, you know, they couldn't continue it. but at one time both of them were there. And when the president, when the king went to Mexico in 1954, they did had a great connection too. But at the same time, they also created the area, and then later on the train station. So we always been really cool with each other, even way back then. Which, and then they Ethiopia appreciated the fact that Mexico stood with them to say, like, no, they're independent. They're not part of nobody. They're a sovereign nation, and yeah, not to mess with them. So from what I heard.
Right. Cool. Yeah.
But tell me about the coffee, because you have something very particular with the coffee ceremony that you do. It's very important for y'all too, right?
Yeah. You know, Ethiopia cultural coffee is very, very quite different. And you know, when you, the coffee originated from Ethiopia.
Mm.
You know, it's called a place called Kaffa.
Kaffa.
Yeah, Kaffa is a place where coffee was originated. So the traditional coffee ceremony is very special because we roast the coffee, the raw coffee.
Yeah.
Right there. And we roast the, and you know, we grind and we make the fresh coffee right there from the scratch. So we have this, the cultural coffee cups, you know, small cups.
Mm-hmm.
And we have the coffee pots called Jebana.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jebana. Jebana means the one we cook the coffee.
Yeah.
And then once you cook and with the Jebana, then the people, sitting there and watching the ceremony and, you know, having drink and coffee and talking, you know, having conversation about family, about, you know, it's just kind of gathering and people,
a lot of communion,
and
friendships usually hang around.
Right, friendship,
with it.
Yeah. So every time, you know, in during lunchtime, or during, you know, any special occasion, coffee brings the vibe, you know.
Awesome.
Yeah.
You know what I heard a long time ago, a video that coffee is most potent, like within 5 days after being roasted, like to be consumed. After that, it starts losing its potency.
Right.
So
yes.
Other coffee vegan is already too old, unless they're roasting it
right
shortly after drinking it.
Right.
Just not the same. Right. So right. I can see why it's different, and the taste, everything is more fresher.
Yes.
To take it in than your other coffee. I'm not gonna say no names because we get in trouble, but no names. But thank you very much for we're running short on time. I appreciate you very much sharing. I learned quite a bit of stuff from the Ethiopian culture as far as the way that, you know, I do things, and this is just like a little piece of your entire culture as far as the place, the culture, the festivities, everything, religion, the food. Which I'm vegan, and you have a lot of vegetarian options too. Yeah, so I ate some of the food that you had, and it's like that. It's like the little soft one that is not really bread.
Injera.
Oh man.
Yeah. That's injera, like that's like tortilla, right?
Yeah.
That's Ethiopian, and you eat it that with different sauces, you know, with tips, with, you know, veggie, with ketfo.
Yeah. What is the for you, in your opinion, what is the best Ethiopian restaurant here in the DFW area? What would you recommend?
I recommend there is a restaurant called Desta.
Desta.
Yeah.
Where is that? I went at
just here on Greenville and Forest.
Desta in the Greenville and Forest.
Yeah.
I think I went there.
They have
the coffee on the side, right?
Yeah. They have a little
small place.
Right,
oh yeah,
right,
we went there.
Yeah. Yes.
I already had the best. All right. One more time, all your social media, your Facebook, your, I don't know if you use Instagram or TikTok, whatever you have, what is it? What would it be?
Oh, my Instagram.
Yes.
Yeah. My Instagram is Yesigat Kebede.
Uh-huh.
And also my Facebook, also Yesigat Kebede.
Okay. Facebook.
And that's...
Awesome. What is an important lesson that you learned doing financial literacy or in the campaign that you would tell your younger self that will help somebody else out? What would that be?
You have to the sooner you save, the better for your future.
Yeah.
And life, you know, is all about how you see yourself. You know, it's always yet be educated, you know. Never stop learning. Yeah. And once you learn, you understand and you apply. So any knowledge without application is nothing.
Yeah.
So that's why, you know, knowledge is power, but applied knowledge leads success.
Absolutely. I usually say something along these lines. I learned it from this one guru guy. I'm not immortal. I am mortal, and I will die one day. And that's not to scare me, but that's a reality of life that we all experience, right? Eventually, we're going to go. We're not going to be here forever. But that makes me want to go ahead and hurry up, do stuff, try stuff. Not in a reckless way, but, you know, just to move forward with life and do different things. With that, I wish you a long, prosperous life. However, when everything's said and done, what do you want people to think and feel about your life?
What people think about?
What do you want people to think and feel about you, or feel about your life?
Well, I don't understand.
So, when everything's said and done, when you pass on, whenever you pass on,
yeah, okay.
What do you want people to think and feel about your life? Let's say at your funeral or whatever the case might be.
I just want people to think about, you know, but whatever I did, whatever I'm contributed to the society,
mm-hmm.
I want them to see, you know, I want them to continue what I have done.
Yeah.
You know, I want my legacy to continue. So I wish, you know, people, they can say, okay, you know, whatever we did, me and you know, for my people, I want them, you know, to recognize it and see this guy make this kind of impact.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I do appreciate the time very much. So, like, when you come to the campaign, you see people, you meet people, you don't really know what they're about. You hear a little bit about their story, but I really feel like I know somebody. Like, whenever people think about the American dream, and like the perfect story, the perfect movie and everything. When you are growing up in a small town with not a lot of stuff, but you have to walk 3 hours back and forth just to go to school for some time. And then later on as a kid, go to another city just to go to school, trying to better yourself. So even becoming and going to school and having a master's in your country is amazing. And then just having to make your journey over, work, being what successful, because you still own a gas station, a convenience store, you're still doing good for yourself, but still having the desire that there's more for you. And then the satisfaction of knowing that you went through that and then found something that, even though at the moment it wasn't really compensating you that much, you saw the fulfillment of you helping your people and telling them about this mission that we have, telling them about why it's important for you to be able to be educated first and then see what else. How can it be of service to you to protect your family? You know, I mean, again, if I was to create a movie, it would be one of the American dream stories that you hear Absolutely. On TV
yeah.
and everything else.
Yeah.
It's coming from like literally just very little.
Right.
So I know you're going to be a millionaire. I don't doubt that you're already a millionaire if you have any investments, but I don't doubt that your cash flow, it's going to be a million at any moment in time. And that's amazing for me to be able to know that I got to talk to you and see that, you know? And without that, you're definitely an honorary Global Latin Factor. Thank you very much for being here, General. Appreciate your time.
You're welcome, sir. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. This was another episode of the Global Latin Factor podcast.
Yes.
Remember, we're just like you. Remember, we're humans. We are the spice in this melting pot. There, just the world. Till next time. Paz.
Thank you so much for being part of the community, checking out this amazing story and this amazing episode. Make sure you go and subscribe to the channel and check out the episodes that we already have prepared for you. Thank you very much. Until next time. Pero but in fact it's a flamingo coming to Havana and reason Puerto Rico.